Welcome to Mortgage Space. I'm your host, Alan Medeiros, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Marvin Bush from Premier Realty. Marvin is a good friend of mine, but more important than that, he's a fantastic real estate professional. And I have had the honor of helping many, many clients of his in mutual partnership and bringing the success of home ownership to those families out there. So how are you today, Marvin?
I'm doing very well. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time. I know that you're a busy guy, and I wanted to talk today very specifically with a real estate agent that has a lot of experience on the listing side of property. So that's why I invited you on today. I know that you have a buyer's agent, and your buyer's agent's name is Diana Aronson. If you look at the other podcast, she's actually done a buyer's side discussion. Today is really going to be more focused on the listing side. So before we get started, Marvin, can you just give a little background on your real estate history and career and what you do? I know that you also invest in real estate, so.
Sure. So I've been buying and selling real estate here in Bakersfield since 1986. So I have a little bit of experience real estate market. I do have a real estate team, and I specialize. I do all the listings for our team, and we do have buyer specialists, which is Diana, that works specifically with buyers. And the reason for that is working with the seller, working with a buyer, two very different mindsets with real estate when you're looking to sell or buy. Totally different mindsets on the transaction. So I've been doing real estate full-time sales for about 12 years. We've had the opportunity to sell hundreds of millions of dollars of real estate here in Bakersfield. So we have a lot of experience, and I do enjoy working with the sellers, and I just enjoy that part of the process.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I've been always impressed with is your intimate knowledge with contracts.
Yes, very important detail.
Absolutely. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the podcast, but I want to just ask you some questions in preparation for potential listener that may be wanting to list their property and maybe is interviewing agents. What are some key things that you do in preparation for meeting with a potential listing?
Well, generally speaking, when I'm looking at listing a property, I prefer to meet with sellers a month or so ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is I like to do a walkthrough on the property. Part of it is verifying information, because a lot of times public record that we have, public record information, is substantially different than what the property may actually have. So we like to verify that information. The other part, which I think is extremely important, is the walkthrough on the property. What we're trying to do is point out some of the strong points of the property with the sellers, but we're also trying to let them know some of the things that need to be improved. And the reason for that is when you've been living in a property for a while, there may be some things that you've become used to that may not be as acceptable to a potential buyer. And the goal of doing this is trying to maximize the amount that we're going to get for the property for our clients. The other part of it is making the property as appealing as we can to as broad a buyer base as we possibly can. So that's one of the main reasons that we like to do that. The other part that we like to do is verify, especially when we're looking at properties with solar, with new roofs, recent updates, we need to know how those were paid for. If the solar system is a lease system, we need to have all that information up front. If there are new roofs, windows, things like that, we need to know how those are paid for to find out if there are additional liens that were recorded on the property as well. So a big part of that is, again, just trying to get all of that stuff done so when it comes to the time to list the property, it is ready to go. It goes on the market. The property's shown in its best light.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that you and I have discussed in the past is the importance of doing just some research based off of property profile, maybe public record data, to see if there's any outstanding liens and things that potentially could be an issue, and your initial impressions when you walk a property. So when you go to walk a property with a potential listing, what are some things that usually you look for immediately?
So one of the big things, you know, and obviously the entire buying process, and with that being said, the selling process also starts from the curb.
Sure.
Because curb appeal on a home is very, very important. And the statistics that I've seen are that by far the majority of buyers have already made up their mind on the home by the time they get to the front door. So having curb appeal, making sure that the home looks inviting from the street is very important to do that. So as I'm walking through the property, I'm looking for multiple things with it. Obviously, I'm looking for condition of the property primarily, and the other any defects, cracks in walls, maybe cracked or broken windows, any issues with flooring. The other part that I'm paying attention to is how personalized the house is. So it's great to be able to update and make your house your home. However, over-personalization can actually be a detriment when you get ready to sell your property. So those are some of the things that I'm paying attention to as I'm walking through. And oddly enough, verifying bedroom and bathroom counts on houses.
Yeah, because I've seen that happen too. So the counts are actually not normally, not always accurate.
Correct.
On public record.
Right. So those are part of the things that we're doing. Also, you know, minor things, making sure smoke detectors are in the property, carbon monoxide detectors are in the property. If you have a pool, making sure the pool alarms are on, checking water heater strapping, just things like that mostly is what we're looking for. On ceilings, as I'm walking through, paying attention to see if there's any stains on the ceilings from either current or prior roof leaks. That stuff is very, very important as well, because those are things as you get in the process. When buyers see those things or they're pointed out to the buyer, it will either help improve their opinion of the property, or it can also make them have more reservations regarding the condition of the property as they see that stuff walking through. So those are all very, very important things that I look at. And then also too, I like to try to get the seller to sell me their property.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Tell me what they liked about their property, what they think the strong points of their property are. So I think that's very, very important. Obviously, they have an emotional attachment to the property. There's things that attracted them to that property when they first bought it. So I like to have the seller sell me the property as well. And once again, the other part that I'm also paying attention to as I'm walking through, and I'm sure you've seen the commercials about being nose blind, mm-hmm. is that there's things that we're accustomed to that someone else may not be appealing, or they may not like as they're walking through. So in a big part of that, if you have indoor pets, things like that, that those are things that I like to point out. So I completely understand that you may be a pet lover. However, potential buyer may not be as big a pet lover as you. These are things that you need to consider now that you're putting your home on the market. The other part of that I try to get sellers to understand is that your home is your home until you put it on the market. Once you put your home on the market, it becomes a commodity. Mm. And that's the way that you have to look at it when you get to that point and get ready to sell your home.
Have you ever found that some sellers get overly involved with the fact that they want to have a particular person buy their home?
Yeah, it does. Normally speaking, we've seen that in the past. And part of that is that occasionally when we get an offer on a property, sometimes there'll be a letter, maybe pictures of the people,
families making the offer.
And that's kind of that emotional part. Because, when you're either buying or selling a home, it's a very emotional transaction that you're going through.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I do, and it's part of my job, is to be that neutral third party.
Sure.
To keep my clients on task, to get them to remember that although you may feel this way, my job is to get you the most that I can out of this property. That's what you hired me to do. And to also keep this transaction on task and make sure that it actually closes at the end.
Absolutely.
So, and I completely understand that, you know, because I'm the same way. It's, well, I may not want people to turn my house into an assisted living facility or something like that. So the reality is that once you put your home on the market, it becomes a commodity and you no longer have control over what that market dictates is going to happen to your home.
Absolutely. I only bring that up because I know the personalization of a property, the the time and energy people put into some of these homes. It was their home.
Absolutely.
But there was also a motivation for moving.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think that that's something that you may actually have a discussion about. Is that something you talk with the seller about, their motivation for moving and maybe what their next steps are?
Absolutely. That's a big part of what we go over as well is, number one, why are you moving? And number two, what are the time frames that you need to be completed sure. with this transaction? Because that is also going to dictate how we approach things as well. You know, the sense of urgency is going to determine, number one, on how aggressive you get with your pricing. The other part is that those time frames will also dictate what our recommendations are going to be as far as what you need to do to your property, different things like that. But our ultimate goal is to get you to where you need to be in the time frame that you need to be there. And we always work from that perspective. And the one thing that we also try to get our sellers to understand, we are working for them. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that hired us. They're the ones that are in charge. We are going to make recommendations, but ultimately, they're the ones that are going to make the decision because they own the property. We can't make a seller do anything that they don't want to do. We make these recommendations, and the reason that we do that, it's based out of experience that we have in the market.
Now, do you spend some time going over the contract and explaining what you can and cannot do in a sale as far as what the responsibilities of the seller are? And when you receive offers, how to evaluate those offers with each particular seller to tell them the pros and cons of the particular offers that come through and give them the ultimate decision, but have that kind of evaluation using the expertise to say, hey, we've seen multiple offers in the past. This is the way that we should evaluate these.
Yes, absolutely. So when we're going over contracts, and we'll focus specifically on that, the one thing that is difficult for most people to understand, remember again, it's very emotional. This is an emotional event that they're going through. So when we're looking over offers on the property, the highest priced offer is not necessarily the best offer. And part of the reason for that, there's a lot of parameters that we have to work within. And when you have a loan involved, all of those parameters are going to be dictated by what the ultimate appraisal comes in at on the property. So we can ask anything that we want, buyer can offer anything that they want, but ultimately if there's a loan, the appraisal has to come in at the contract value that you have on the property. So we take into consideration multiple things. Pricing is one of them. The concessions that are asked for, buyer closing costs, home warranties, title and escrow requirements, different things like that are also considered. We also look at who the lender is on the and what type of loan that the buyer is obtaining. The next would be who is the agent that's representing that buyer, because all of those things count. And once again, the ultimate goal is to get the transaction closed.
Yes.
And my experience has been, it doesn't matter how many times you get under contract, it's the closing that matters.
Right.
Because, you know, it's all an exercise until we get to that closed time. And once again, as a seller or property owner, there's a certain amount of emotional energy that you have to invest in this process. And we want to make that go as smoothly as possible. So we look at all of those things. And then I, as you said, I'm a stickler for things on contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not real big on gray areas. I like everything specified in black and white so each side knows exactly what they've agreed to in this contract. And part of the reason for that is the enforceability of what we're doing on these contracts as well. If there's something that needs to be enforced, I don't like gray area in that. We want to make sure that we can enforce those parts of the contract, because ultimately, when you're looking at these transactions, it's good faith on the seller side, it's good faith on the buyer side. We just have all this stuff in writing to make sure that good faith is being exercised on both sides. So
I know you've had this conversation with me in the past. Verbal contracts don't stand up. We
Absolutely.
Really need to make sure that it's in writing. One of the things that I think that's valuable for a listener of a podcast like this to understand is that everyone has a desire to sell a property, but not all properties sell.
Correct.
And I think a lot of it has to do with realistic expectations.
Absolutely.
And also having proper documentation to support why a particular list price is there and why it's recommended at such. Because I can tell you, I have seen situations where a buyer, with me pre-approving that buyer, is up against multiple offers. And I always do my own due diligence as a lender because I know I have to have that appraisal.
Absolutely.
And I will pull comps for me to review and I'll say, you know what, that's a really aggressive offer. I don't know that the buyer has enough cash to pay the cash difference. So just be aware of that when you're making this offer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I believe a proper listing will be priced appropriately and has supporting documentation as to why you may have gone above comps in the area.
Right.
And those are things that I think a competent listing agent will do and have those items ready to present to that appraiser in case there's any questions that come up. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think that in most cases, the work that you do up front and making sure that you have all of the data in place will save a lot of heartache and headache.
Absolutely.
You know, further in the transaction. So one of the things that I always base my recommendations on, and let's get something perfectly clear. As a listing agent, I cannot tell anyone what they're going to list their property at.
Sure.
I don't own the property. The seller is the one that owns the property. Ultimately, they're the ones that are going to come up with the number. I make recommendations, and I will let somebody know this is what I recommend that we start at, but ultimately, it's the seller's decision. The way that I come up with that information, that number, is based strictly on sales data that is available. And there's multiple things that go into that. The area that you're in, the builder of the property, oddly enough, makes a huge difference in Bakersfield. School districts make a big difference in valuation. The amount of updating and age of the property, the condition of the property, all of that stuff is going to come into play whenever we're looking at the sales data and coming up with a realistic sales price. Now, in the real world application, if a home is priced correctly and for the area, amenities, everything, there's going to be little to no negotiating done on the property when it gets under contract. There is a certain mindset with some people, well, we need to list it higher so we have negotiating room. And that's not necessarily a good direction to go. Once again, having it priced correctly for the area, condition, other things is a much more efficient and much more effective way to go. And once again, when you do that, there's little to no negotiating done on the property if it's priced correctly. And generally speaking, those properties are going to move much quicker and your ultimate outcome is going to be much smoother if it's done correctly up front. My experience has been that if you have a property that's priced a little too high, the longer it sits on the market, the less ultimately you will get for the property, regardless of starting at a higher price. The actual sales price, ultimately, in most cases, will be lower than it would have been had it been priced correctly up front.
I agree with that 100%. I think that the perception of a buyer would be that property's been on the market for so much time, and now there's a price reduction. The thought goes through their mind, what's wrong?
Right, absolutely.
Versus, you know, the property was maybe not appropriately priced. It's now coming down into the range it should be. You know, let's take a look.
Absolutely, and that kind of goes back to the part about understanding what the motivation of the seller is. What is the time frame that you need to have this completed? And all of that comes into play, and you need to focus on that because ultimately the transaction that you're going through is about a buyer and a seller, what the motivation is of the buyers and the sellers and what time frames we need to have this completed in.
Absolutely. So I want to bring up something I think that's important for a listing, and that has to do with presentation. We talked about curb appeal, but let's talk a little bit more about some basic things that a homeowner can do to help them make that listing shine a little bit more.
Well, there are a few basic things that can happen. So the most basic thing that you can do to a home is cleanliness matters. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're maybe not the best housekeeper, it's always good to have, if you have the ability to do this, have a professional come in and do a professional cleaning of the property. Because when you look at a lot of things with a property, updating, you know, condition, all of those things can be overcome to some extent if the property is very, very clean. That's what a lot of buyers are looking for as they come into the property. There's some other things that can be done. You know, we always go with the motto that a gallon of paint is $30 in that can, it's $3,000 on a wall.
Sure.
And that does make a huge difference.
Yes.
Paint on a house, you'll usually get 4 to 5 times the cost of that back out of the property if you just put a coat of paint on it. Planting a few flowers in the flower beds out front, trimming things up, can make a big difference as well. If you have carpet in your house and it has some substantial wear, spending a couple $1,000s to put carpet in a home, you'll probably get $5,000 to $10,000 in value back out.
Sure.
Those are things that people immediately look for when they go into a home. But you know, the big thing, it starts with just the basics. Just make sure it's super clean when people come in. Countertops, for example, just get everything off your countertops in your kitchen.
So declutter.
Absolutely.
Clean the
declutter.
House up.
Yeah. And, you know, we try to go with the mindset with our clients that less is more.
Sure.
When you're in the house, because you do want to make the house feel as large as you can. And one of the other things that you don't want to do is, as a buyer's walking through the property, you don't want them to be distracted from the house itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking down personal pictures, things like that, is always a great idea, because once again, you want them focused on the house. And part of the process that you're trying to do is get them to take emotional ownership of the home. That's a huge part of what goes on through the buying process. The other thing that I am absolutely adamant about is, I never, ever, ever want my seller to be at the property when there's a prospective buyer doing a walkthrough. It's amazingly uncomfortable for both parties. It doesn't allow the buyer the ability to relax and start that process of, you know, imagining themselves living in that property. And once again, there may be something that's said that either one party or the other may not like.
Sure.
Or appreciate.
Sure.
So those are just some of the things that we try to do up front immediately with our clients, and it's worked very effectively. You know, I will say, this last year, all the properties that we listed, the buyers we worked with, we had 100% closing ratio. So it's very, very effective.
Absolutely. Well, let's just summarize a couple things specifically on good investments of money.
Right.
That have a better return when you're trying to improve your property. So you've already mentioned paint.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned carpet.
Right.
What are some others that have good rates of return that potentially could be a little money spent now with a better outcome in the future?
So there's multiple things you can do to the property. One of the things that I want to say before we start on that, if you're considering doing some improvements to your property, don't wait till you sell it. Do it so you can enjoy it while you're there.
Sure.
And then it'll be ready when you get ready to sell your property. But if you're looking at doing improvements, you know, why do you want to just do them for someone else to enjoy? Do them.
Sure.
So you can enjoy them while you're in the property. But you know, a few things, kitchens, for example, you know, updating some appliances here and there makes a world of difference, you know, whenever potential buyers are looking at that. Lighting fixtures throughout the house. It is amazing how inexpensive things like that are that will change the complete look of your home as you're walking through it. Doesn't have to be expensive fixtures here and there, but as you know, fashions change. You know, if you have all either gold or antique gold appliance or fixtures throughout your house, you know, it may not be a bad idea to spend a little bit of money and put some oil rub bronze or some brushed nickel or something that's more modern. The cost of doing that is much, much less than most people realize, and it makes a substantial difference as you're walking through the property, just in how people feel as they're walking through the property. Bathrooms are always a good thing as well. Kitchens and bathrooms, generally speaking, remodels on those will bring you the most value for the dollars spent. One of the other things that I always recommend, front doors.
Mm.
Have a nice looking front door. You don't have to change it out and put an expensive one in, but you know, a coat of paint or restaining anything on a front door will make a world of difference when people are getting ready to walk in. Also too, the other big one are garage doors. If your garage door has been bumped into a few times, just change out the panels and make it look nice, because ultimately speaking, that's a huge part of the front elevation of your home.
Sure.
So just things like that. And then the other big one that I talked about before is flooring throughout the house. You know, sometimes depending on what type of flooring that you have in, it can be a little pricey, but just make sure that it looks nice or looks, you know, presentable as people are walking through the property. And the other part on corners, as you're walking through your house, corners, hallways, things like that, just pay attention to those areas, baseboards, things like that. Make sure they're clean, make sure the paint's not chipped off, things like that on the property. Those little touches make all the difference in the world to potential buyers.
Those are all great ideas, and I think that I agree 100%. If you're going to list a property, you need to make sure that the investment that you make, if you're going to keep the property is one thing, but if you're going to sell it, you're not overspending on things that are not going to bring value to that listing. But
right.
I know that any prospective buyer that comes in will appreciate new or newer, whether it be appliances, fixtures, you know, cleanliness, new paint, new carpet, because in their mind, it's less of an out-of-pocket for them to recondition the property as well.
Absolutely.
Right. So, and those are always the concerns. And when I talk with buyers and getting them ready for a loan, I have to prep them that not every house will be in move-in condition. It may meet basic standards for a bank, right? But it's not going to necessarily be move-in ready.
Correct.
So they're going to have to spend a little bit of money and some elbow grease to get that house ready. So I want to make sure that they have some margin,
right,
a little cash left over, so when they are able to move in, they can do the things to get that house ready. I want to talk now real quickly about some important pieces that are more geared towards financing a home, and that I know you look out for, and we discussed them very early in the podcast, and that being solar.
Right.
So let's talk about that briefly. When you approach a house and you see a brand new air conditioning unit, or you see a brand new set of windows and you see a brand new solar system, what immediately you start thinking?
Well, number one, when I look at that stuff, my first question is, how were those paid for?
Yes.
And part of that reason is that we've had here recently, in the last 5 years or so, this has become more prevalent with the HERO and PACE loans, other energy upgrade loans. And unfortunately, that has not been it's not been a program that was correctly implemented all of the time. So one of the first questions that we ask, I noticed that you have this new, how did you pay for those? We want to make sure that there are no other liens on the property that we're unaware of. Because when it comes to PACE loans, HERO loans, things like that, those have to be paid in full at close of escrow. Those are not something that can traditionally be transferred. And if they are, the buyer, the potential buyer, is the one that has to assume the responsibility. And that's something, correct me if I'm wrong, that is also has to be calculated into debt to income ratios for the potential buyer.
Yes,
so
right.
Those are things that could potentially blow the sale apart. And if we don't know that up front, we like to have all the information that we can gather before we start the process, so that if we need to adjust while we're going through the process, we know exactly which direction to go. We don't like surprises as we're going through the transaction. So the also too with solar systems, my first question is it purchased? Is it a power purchase agreement? Is it a lease? How did you acquire that? And then also, if it is a power purchase agreement or a lease, we need to look at the contract, because
yes,
we need to know fully, we need to have full knowledge of what that contract consists of, because those are going to be questions that you're absolutely going to have to disclose to the buyer up front. And the buyer needs to determine whether or not that's something they want to take on, because the reality is, even though the solar company says they'll move it to another home, I personally have never seen that happen. It usually stays on the property. Buyer has to requalify. for those systems and stuff, and it may not be as attractive to a potential buyer as it was to you when you bought the property. The other part with as far as the purchased solar systems, is there still a loan on them or are they paid for in full? Because if they're paid for in full, it will add some value to the home. If there's still a loan against them or a lease or power purchase, it absolutely does not add value to the home. In fact, there are some cases where it could actually detract from the value of the home.
Yeah, those are all very important pieces, and you're absolutely correct. So I'll recap just the mortgage side. If somebody is obtaining financing to purchase a house, most loan programs require, if there is a lease or if there's a purchase of the panels, that we qualify with that payment in your debt-to-income ratio. So the buyer does need to make sure they qualify with those, because it's an ongoing expense that is predictable and typically the same, right? So a lease is going to have the same lease payment for whatever duration is. And then for a purchase, if they are obtaining a loan or taking over a loan, then we would need to know what that payment is, and it's calculated back in their debt ratios. So that becomes very important. And a buyer's agent, a good buyer's agent, will do that investigation up front and
absolutely
let the buyer know, hey, these are things that we need to look out for. So I want to go ahead and shift gears one more time, and this is probably the last time. I want to talk about, now that you've got your property listed, now that you've had people walk through your home, now that you've gotten an offer presented, you're happy with the terms, you have expectations there, you're giving the seller a seller's net. Mm-hmm. What is a seller's net?
Well, the seller's net is, it's an estimate of what their ultimate proceeds are going to be after everything is all said and done. And there's a number of different things that go into that net sheet. Part of it's a sale price, what they're ultimately selling the property for. Whatever buyer concessions that are agreed upon, if you're paying or doing credits for buyer's closing costs, home warranties, what the agreement was as far as who's paying for what title and escrow fees. There's county transfer tax that needs to be addressed in that. There's multiple different things that are considered in that net sheet. And then also too, we absolutely get a payoff from your lender as well, or if there's a mortgage still on the property, because we need to know what that payoff's going to be. And then we also need to know what that daily interest amount is going to be on that loan, because every single day that you wait to close, the numbers will change. And not only from an interest standpoint, but also from a property tax standpoint, all of that stuff is taken into consideration, and it is all based on what the agreed upon sales date is going to be. If that time period moves up or it's pushed back, those numbers absolutely will change. So all of that stuff is considered when we're doing an ultimate net sheet. And we do like to try to be as accurate as we can on that. Ultimately, things will happen as we're going through the transaction that may change those numbers slightly one way or another, but we do try to be as accurate as we can up front.
So I'm going to throw a wrench in this and talk about some uncommon things, but have been common enough in your history as a real estate professional. And that's asking some questions that are tough questions to ask. That might be, are there any liens that we should know about against you personally?
Correct.
Are there any outstanding judgments that could potentially slow this process down that could be an expense that has to be satisfied with the sale of your property, right?
It is. That one's an interesting one. It's a very, very touchy subject sometimes.
It is. But this is what a true professional will do.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we do everything in the real world. Everything that we do has real world applications. So part of what goes on in a real estate transaction is that before you're able to actually either buy or sell real property in the state of California, the escrow company is going to get a statement of information from you, and your name is going to be ran. So if you have tax liens, if you had child support liens, if you have any lawsuits, judgments, all of that stuff is going to come up, and those absolutely have to be addressed. Now, the reason that we ask those, and you know, most of the time people are pretty good about it, but there are some times when not all the information that we're given is as accurate as it should be, it's ultimately going to come out. And part of the reason that we do that is we need to plan for that as we're going through the transaction. Because once again, ultimately our goal is to get this transaction completed so the seller gets to sell the home, move on to the next step of their life, buyer gets to buy the home, and they get to move into their new home. So that's the ultimate goal, is what we have in mind. And sometimes, yes, those questions are very, very difficult to ask. And on the other side of that, sometimes those questions are very, very difficult to answer from the other side. So again, nobody likes the negative part of the business, but it is actually part of this job. And as a professional, we get all of the information, good or bad, because it's pertinent information to what we're doing. And it, and ultimately, all of this stuff has to be addressed.
Now, when you're in a transaction, specifically towards getting really involved in this, when you're getting involved in this process, there's going to be interruptions to your life as a listing, right? So
Absolutely.
If you're the homeowner, what are some things they are going to definitely expect? I'll give you an example that some people are going to want to look at your home.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's going to be at times that you're not really ready to show the home. Mm-hmm. So give me some other things that go on during that process, because top of mind for me would be you have the pre-portion of getting into escrow and then in the escrow process. So what are some interruptions to a seller's life that they're going to experience?
So one of the big things is, you're correct. When your property goes on the market, it becomes a commodity and your life is going to be inconvenient. One of the things we try to get our sellers to understand, if you make it a little more uncomfortable up front, this process gets done quicker and you can get back to a normal life that you're used to living. So yes, there are going to be people that are going to want to come and see the property, and they're not going to do it when it's convenient for you. It's always going to be done when it's convenient for them, which means that evenings, weekends, things like that, yeah. Because they're going to look at it when they're not at work, when they have the time to do so. You just need to be prepared that if someone needs to see that property, you're going to have to be inconvenienced, because unless you can get people through the property, they're not going to buy it.
Sure.
You know, that's the first step with that. The second step is through the escrow process. There's going to be inspections. There may be repairs, other things that are going to need to be done. And it's not going to be on your schedule either. It's going to be when those can be done, because there are time frames that the buyer is under, that stuff has to be done within those time frames. And you have to make the property available for that stuff to be done. So yes, it will be inconvenient, but ultimately, once again, we have a goal that we're shooting for, and we need to stay focused on that goal in the big picture.
Absolutely.
As we're going through there.
As you get closer to closing in a real estate sales transaction, there's going to be a time that the seller will need to talk or meet with escrow to sign some important documents, like a grant deed package, closing disclosures, just some things that will basically tie these loose ends up so that it can sell and properly transfer title. So how important is it for you as a listing agent to communicate to your seller those milestones and then also the sense of urgency to get these things done?
You know, it's very important, because once again, everybody is under a time frame. There are specific parts of the contract where the buyer has to perform, seller has to perform. So we have to make sure that those time frames are being met. One of the things that I can tell you, whether you're a buyer or a seller, pay very close attention to this. When you go to escrow to sign paperwork, or you go to your lender, whoever, to sign paperwork, take your picture ID with you.
Take your picture ID with you? Why is that important, Marvin?
Well, you would be surprised at how many people don't carry their ID with them, which I'm very surprised about. But there are documents that have to be notarized.
Yeah.
On the buying side and the selling side, both, those documents cannot be notarized unless your ID can be verified. You have to have your identification with you. Yeah. So make sure that you do that. And then also too, the signing documents, things on the seller side generally is much, much less than it is on the buyer side. However, there are other important things as well on seller side. If you have a trust, those trust documents have to be made available, and those have to be provided to escrow as well, because they have to verify who the trustees are, what authority, different things like that. So again, part of what we do is we have a great team that we've put together. We, you know, obviously with our team in our office, we have a great escrow team that we put together, a great lending team that we put together. All of those people that work as one big team to make sure all of this stuff is done ahead of time. And part of the reason for doing that is we like to make sure all of this stuff is planned out and we go through the same process every single time. Yeah. So things do not fall through the cracks. Everybody has their expectations up front. And the reason we focus so much on that, most buyers or sellers will sell a property every 5 to 7 years is normal. Some it could be 20 years or 30 years. We do this every single day.
Sure.
Rules change all the time.
Yeah.
And it's our job to make sure that our buyers and sellers understand what is expected of them, what documentation is needed to get through this process.
Absolutely. All right, bonus round. This is some information I think that's important. So you also deal with investors that are selling property.
Absolutely.
So when you have a situation like that and there's a tenant in the property, what are some things that you talk to investors to let them know in getting that property prepared for sale, what to expect?
Well, there's a couple different views on it. Obviously, it's a completely different mindset when you're working with this, because most investors, it's not an emotional transaction they're going through. It's strictly they're looking at it from a monetary standpoint. So the urgency may or may not be the same with that. When there's tenants involved, part of the process is getting the owner of the property to sell the property to understand they may or may not need to have those tenants vacate that property prior to close of escrow. Those are some of the other things that that we look at. One of the other things that we try to get them to understand, if you are doing that property, depending on the circumstances, you're going to need to provide all of the financials for those properties. If you're looking at doing a 1031 exchange, which is, we can go into a little bit more detail in that at some other point, but if you're looking at going into a 1031 exchange, we're gonna need to know who that exchange agent is gonna be up front, because they have to work with escrow to make sure all of those proceeds go to the right place in the right time frame. Though the also condition of the property, it's a little bit different than a traditional sale, only from an emotional standpoint, but most of the paperwork is going to be very similar.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up those points, because I occasionally see investors that are buying property, and if the listing side has their stuff together, it moves much smoother.
Absolutely, and I do wholeheartedly agree with that.
And I've seen some that are just practicing at it, and it makes the whole process very, very frustrating, especially for the buyer, because they need to have access for inspections. They need to make sure that certain due diligences are done for their own satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And if they're dealing with an exchange, and if they didn't do it quickly enough, there's still paperwork that the exchange has to go through.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I'm just trying to bring this up, because there are common pitfalls that I see on one piece of the puzzle. If financing is involved and I'm the hinge that closes that door, I really want to make sure that everyone that's playing the game is playing the same game, and we have very specific goals in hand, and then we can get to that goal. And ultimately, we'd love to hear the word, your loan is funded.
Mm-hmm.
Your loan is recorded. Congratulations. Here are the keys.
Right.
Right. So, Marvin, thank you so much. I think that the listeners of the podcast can get a lot out of this information that you provided. Can I ask, what's the best way to reach you?
Sure. Yeah. You can give me a call on my cell phone, 661-303-0776. I usually have that on 7 days a week. I do shut it off when I go to bed, though. So, but that's generally the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Excellent. Thank you again for your time. And we'll probably be revisiting another podcast in the future for maybe some other topics that are related to this process that we go through called home buying, as well as selling property. Thank you again, Marvin.
All righty. Thank you.